back and forth. The bride and the groom will be living together. The S-O-N will be the light, the capital L light. No need of rest. It'll be daytime all the time. We'll just play all the time. Play all the time. Let's read verse 4 for a review. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no funeral homes, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, no hospitals, for the former things are passed away. See, what's going to happen is we're going to restart.
Yeah.
Someday I'll know something. Right now I don't. When we get here, we're going to know something. We're going to know something. Let's look at starting verse 6. The bride introduced. He said to me, it is done. Now at this point, you're either married to the Son or else. If you're not married to the Son, if you're not part of the bride, I'd get married today.
Yeah.
Today would be the time. All else is going to be excluded. You're either married or else. You can see it in 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then in 22:15, for without are dogs. We're talking about those that's without Him. For without Him are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Either married or else. Time to get to verse 6. Now, this New Jerusalem is a real place. It's like the Garden of Eden. No need of the sea, the S-E-A. See, all in the past, it's been a barrier and a border.
Yeah.
When there's no sea, I can just walk over to Italy and see the grandkids or ride a mule or whatever. Plus, there's going to be a lot more land area, a lot of room for a lot more population to double and double again even. Verse 7. Here's his description. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And sometimes there might be a little towhead running through the building. I'll say, oh, son, watch, you go bump your head. He might not even be my son. It's a phrase sometimes. But here, God is calling us sons. Here, God says, it's my son. It's a splendid place. And I went ahead and looked up splendid. It's bright, proper, shining, magnificent. It's a splendid place. It's a satisfying place. And it's a safe place. And it's a real place. Again, just as real as Summersville. And that's where we're headed. That's where the bride's going, Sister Pat. She wanted me to say good things about the bride. Sister Kim's up here, Sister Pat. I got there now. Good things about the bride. Here we go, verse 8. But, now verse 8 connects back to chapter 20, verse 15, which says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're still talking about those that's excluded. Verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's a real place for sinners. It's a real place for the devil. This is another real place. It's a real place for the devil. It's a real place for demons. It's a real place for the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, sorcerers. It's a real place for sorrow. For wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's a real place for memory and darkness. It's a real place of separation from good things. It's a real place of separation from life, from loved ones, from God. God won't be there. And a great gulf is fixed. The reality of hell is it's just as real as heaven, just as real as just as real as Nicholas County, just as real as Summersville. The second death is eternal separation. The new heaven and the new earth did not affect the status of the lake of fire. It's still eternal. Now that all this is excluded, there's no possibility of sin. Forever, it's shut out of the new creation. And verse 9, the king's queen is more important than his government.
Yeah.
Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Yes, amen, hallelujah. We're going to a wedding, girls. It's going to be splendid. Verse 10 and 11, the New Jerusalem here. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light, the bride, was likened to the city was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. The New Jerusalem comes into view here at the end of the millennium and at the beginning of eternity. The New Jerusalem transcends the one on earth, but casts no bad reflections or feelings. There's no jealousy back and forth. There's going to be a Jerusalem over in Israel on the new earth, new heaven and new earth. There'll be a New Jerusalem suspended over the earth. The New Jerusalem's the home of the church. The one here on earth is the home of Israel, and we'll visit back and forth. To them, the New Jerusalem's like the Old Testament tabernacle. They come to worship. And since there's no more S-U-N, God lights the universe from the New Jerusalem diamond crystal. It's how the whole place is going to get lit up. Verse 12 and 13 is the gates. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. 14 through 18 is the walls. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. That's 1,500 miles. That's half the United States, wide, long, high, any way you want to measure. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. 17, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits. That's 216 foot, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall and of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, likened to clear glass. Jasper is the hardest substance known, or one of the hardest. So it's going to be a safe place. And it's clear like a diamond. The 12 foundations are in 19 and 20. And the foundation of the wall of the city, the foundations, the 12 foundations, were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first was jasper. And we just talked about that, clear like a diamond. And second is sapphire. That's blue. And the third, I wish Jerry Givens was here to pronounce these. I'm pretty sure they're all going to be wrong, but this is all you get for a nickel. Chalcedony is greenish. The fourth, an emerald, is green. The fifth, the sardux, is red. And then sardis is not on your paper. Brother Rick omitted that, but I looked it up. It's fiery red. Christolite is golden yellow. Beryl, is green. Topaz is greenish yellow. And then I also missed Chrysippus because I couldn't pronounce it. I skipped over that. It's gold green. And then Jacinth is violet. And amethyst is purple. And a rainbow is going to go like this compared to that. Rainbow is going to hide out compared with the beauty that we're going to see in this city in the New Jerusalem. Jesus is no longer the light of the world, but the capital L, light of the universe. He's going to light everything. Verse 21 is the street. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. You all know, I think, that the way a pearl is formed is a grain of sand gets inside an oyster, and over a long period of time, there's like a mucus that comes around the sand to protect the oyster from irritation that sharp sand would cause, and then another layer and another layer and another layer, and finally a pearl. And this could be a grain of my sin on the end of a Roman spear that went in my Savior's heart, and over a long, long time, out comes the pearl.
Yeah.
22, we see the city. Now, the city, here's where we see the city's going to receive visitors. 22 to 24, watch this. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the capital L, Lamb, is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Here's the visitors, the travel, how we go back and forth. Then verse 25, the travel's so free, finally they just throw away the key. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Access, again, we got that emphasized back in Ephesians chapter 2 as the big difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. Now we can come straight in prayer or reading the Bible. But then we'll go straight in and be where God's at. Now God's with us. One day we're going to move in with Him. Now He's here with us, but we're going to go where He's at. And it's right here. It's right here. 26 and 27. God accomplishes what He wanted all along since Adam and Eve, and that's fellowship with us. I don't know why, but that's what He wants. That's what He wants, and it's going to happen right here. 26 and 27. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22, the expected end of the wife of the Lamb. Is that your verse, Sister Becky? They tell me it's your verse. Where's it at? Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11. Let's look at it. You want to go ahead and read it, Sister Becky, real loud? Jeremiah 29:11.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord.
Yeah, hallelujah. Did I mention we have the mind of God? Well, what's God thinking? Let's open up and see what He's thinking about. Well, in chapter 22, He's thinking about us going over where He's at. In chapter 22, He's thinking about us being the bride. And this place that we describe, it's described here in 22:1, starting off the river. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Let's look at it in Psalm 46. A soft touch added to this city here. And elaborate beauty. Psalm 46, 4 and 5. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most, capital H, High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Revelation 22, 2. We're talking about the wife, Sister Pat. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Up till now, heaven, the New Jerusalem, looks like it's all mineral. But now we get some vegetables thrown in here, and we're going to eat. Man will eat and drink. The tree of life will be there. We saw the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Then man messed up and got it X'd out. Now let's look at it in chapter 2 of Revelation. It's right here. It's in the city. And we're going to have it available to us. Revelation 2, 7. Revelation 2, 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. It's going to be a good time. The throne's going to be there in verse 3, Revelation 22, 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God. I think we decided last week the throne is in the book of Revelation like 40, 45 times. And this is the throne of God. It's not a regular old throne. We agreed none of us ever seen a regular throne. It's going to be the throne of God. It's going to be kind of special right here. We've been seeing it through and through. And guess what? It's the worship center. And we're going to be there. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him.
Yeah.
Let's look at that in Revelation 2:7. No, I'm sorry. We'll get that in a minute. Let's look at the light source, 4 and 5. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The light source, that's what's going to do it right there. Heaven is a place of singing and shouting. Isaiah 44, 23. You might as well get ready. Isaiah 44, 23. Sing. Sound like a command to me. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. We might get some of that next week. Maybe a little bit of singing next week in the last chapter. Heaven's a place of service. Here it is. Chapter 7, verse 15. 7:15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. We're not just going to sit around on a cloud and play a harp.
Right.
It's going to be a place of fellowship, 1 Corinthians 13:12. I might get to be the greeter then. I'm jealous of these greeters around here. That's a fun job. Might get to greet it, people coming into the New Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 13:12. It's a place of fellowship. And that, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Yeah, Grandma will be there and you will know her. I hope she's there. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am Noah. See, it's also a place of learning. We're going to learn. It's not a place of unoccupied idleness, but a place of ceaseless activity. No rest needed. We will know Him, and He will know us. We won't know less than we know now. We will see the face that Moses wanted to see. Well, how long is it going to last, Brother Rick? What's the duration of all this singing and happiness anyway? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 3:21. I'm so glad you asked. I was hoping you'd ask. Ephesians 3:21, talking about the duration. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. It's going to be a long time. 2 Peter 1:11. We're talking about the duration. How long is the New Jerusalem going to last? How long is the bride and the groom going to be married? Anyhow, 2 Peter 1:11. For no entrance shall be ministered unto you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. That's what Sister Becky was reading about, the expected end. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how long it's going to last. That's how long the duration is going to be for the New Jerusalem. Let's look at it in Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. How long is it going to last, Brother Rick? What's the duration of this New Jerusalem and the bride living there, dwell, traveling back and forth? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. How about 86:12? I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. Yeah. How about 89:52? Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. How about 92:8? How long is it going to last, Brother Rick? What's the duration of this thing anyway? But Thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. How about 115:18? The heavens, either the heavens. I'm sorry. 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. How about 121:8? The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore.
Yeah.
132:12. 132:12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. How long is it going to last, Brother Rick? What's the duration anyhow? It's going to be forevermore. From this time forward, ever. The distinctives of the city, there's no sanctuary because God's there. We'll be face to face. That's the first place God introduces Himself to man. First time we get to see. There's no substitutes and there's no sinners. Verse 6, her husband. That's the wife. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. It's these promise to come shortly and surely. It's guaranteed. Verse 7 is these promise to come quickly. It's not the same thing. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Quickly General Electric tried to measure it. They said it was the twinkling of an eye. It was like 1/10,000th of a second. He's coming. When he comes, it's going to be pretty soon, shortly, but it's going to be quickly when he comes. It's going to be fast. It says the same thing in verse 12 and verse 20. And then he says to keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Again, I say that's holding on to them. I wouldn't be trifling with them. I wouldn't be adding a word. I wouldn't add one word. I wouldn't take away a word. But also, especially the book of Revelation, I wouldn't spiritualize it and come up with meaningless symbols. I wouldn't mess around with it. I'd talk about reality. I'd just read it and take it like it is. Starting in verse 8 is His command. Now John saw these things and heard them. And when I'd heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren of the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He's saying, worship God, not me. I'm like you. Verse 10, he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy. Let everybody know about it, of this book, for the time is at hand. That's His command. Let's look at it in John 4. John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And now we're experiencing it right here, right now. Verse 11, we're back to the present. For just one verse here. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. See, the whole purpose of prophecy is to purify.
Yeah.
It's not just to tell the future. It's that Brother Rick needs to straighten up. I don't want my hand in the cookie jar when the Lord comes back. The purpose of prophecy is purity. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Verse 12, He promised to reward the faithful. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. 13 is His description. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now let's not forget this. The Lord Jesus is the center of the book of Revelation. He's the center of everything. Christmas time, we'll try to put those ornaments on the tree and we'll see how many we can get and get some on the fence outside and some on the house. We try to adorn everything we can. But here, there's only one adorning. It's Jesus and He's in the middle. He's the center of everything. He's the center of the book of Revelation. Don't lose sight of Him while we're trying to figure it out. Verse 14, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. 15 and 16. It's the first time the word church is going to be used since chapter 3, verse 22, we saw the word church. Then in 19:7, the church is called the bride or the wife. But let's read about here. We see the churches. Verse 15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. We're going to be talking about Jesus in heaven. Again, He's going to be the center of everything, the light. We will have all eternity to learn about Him. 17 is His invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. 18 and 19 is His warning. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Very good.
All right, Brother Lee. How you doing? Good. I didn't get enough credit.
He was like,